The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the one-hour express service.
Triple M.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends on this once again beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. We're with you right through until 12 o'clock today. Plenty of action, plenty of sport to talk about it as I welcome my panel today. And I tell you what, I'm in awe, absolute in awe. First of all, Albie Kidd, the former Scottish champion international. Albie, welcome to the show.
Cage, great to see you.
And you've been barramundi fishing, they tell me.
Yeah, I was barramundi fishing a week ago and I caught many, let me tell you.
I'm glad you brought some in, Albie. Thanks very much for sharing your wealth. And of course, put the cream on the cake, Albie. You're sitting alongside, of course, the Crows captain, Tex Walker. Tex, welcome to the show.
Morning, boys. How
the
are
great
we?
Great man. Tex, how are you?
Very, very good.
Don't pick a fight. He was a big man.
He's a big lad.
Big lad. Tex, were you happy with the trade? We just briefly, we'll cover it in detail in a moment, but briefly, you were happy with it?
I think it was very successful for both South Australian teams, KG. And very happy to get both Bryce Gibbs and Sam Gibson. So very, very happy boy.
Now, you got a moon boot on. You got your thing, your finger patched up. When will the moon boot come off?
Oh, I had a little bit of an ankle clean out on Thursday, so very, very minor, KG, nothing to be worried about. And then just had the fingers stitched up as well, so a couple of things at the end of the season, but all good.
Back on the track, Tex, couple of weeks?
Nah, not till the 4th of December, well, Abby, but we'll have to do a little bit between now and then.
Brilliant.
And Abby, just quickly, we'll talk about United in detail a little later with Vinny Lea. You would have been pleased last night. 2-2 draw, I thought they were home, right until the 82nd minute.
Yeah, it was a fiery game, Cage.
Good game.
At the end of the day, I thought it was a fair result, 2-2, but a good game, what you would expect against a Melbourne Victory side. Good side, but Adelaide, I'll tell you what, they're impressive. They're unbeaten, as we know, 2 draws and a win, but they're going quite well.
Wow, beautiful stuff. Okay, we've got a big show coming your way, as always, every Saturday morning. We'll be talking to Mark Scaife. Ooh, gee, with some hairy conditions, of course, on the Gold Coast with the supercars. So we'll talk to Mark Scaife about that. Vinnie Lea, of course, Adelaide United, who scored 2 goals last night. We'll talk about harness racing back to Wavell on Friday night. Big, big show between now and... Sean, did you put your hand up and want to say something?
Well, I mean, we're only on until 10 o'clock, okay, so don't get too carried away.
I thought we were under 12.
And secondly, we have to address the elephant in the room.
What elephant? Because I've got big ears.
Said it, Tex.
A little while ago on this here show, there was a certain quote made that I would like to replay, and I think now is the right time, okay?
Oh, no. Hit me with it.
Listen carefully.
Look, I love Tex, but I'll say this, and I just wonder also whether it's time that Tex went back to the SNFL and got things right.
Well, you I had did a few say too that. Many beers that night, KJ, now, I reckon.
Sorry, mate?
You had a few too many beers the night before you come on show.
I don't know what I had the night before, but that would have to be one of the silliest things I've said this before on radio. That's probably one of the silliest things I've said in my time on radio, and I still don't know today why I said it. And I'll tell you a story surrounding all this. My 2 granddaughters were mad Western Bulldog supporters. And this particular Mother's Day, I went out to the Alma Hotel, and Tex happened to be out there, and he was good enough to walk up and say hello to Hunter and Dakota, my 2 granddaughters, and they were mad Western Bulldog supporters, and they were so impressed with Tex on the way home. Hunter said to me, "Pop, I'm not going to barrack for the Western Bulldogs anymore because their father was a Western Bulldog supporter. I want to barrack for the Crows. Would that be all right, Bob?" I said, "Of course it is, love. Have you told Dad?" "Yeah, I've told Dad." And then she said to me, "Can you buy Dakota and me a Crows jumper?" So I did. And when I said that particular comment on this program, when I went home, I walked inside the house and there was Hunter with a look like thunder. And she said, "Pop, I heard you say on radio this morning that Tex should be dropped. I hope you apologise to him." That was a terrible thing to say. And didn't speak to me for a week. So
fair enough.
I told her last night I was working with Tex, she said, "I want to hear you apologise." So Tex, I apologise.
Taking on board, KG.
Sorry, mate.
I've taken your apology on board.
Thank you, Tex. And thank you, Sean, too. Well,
in your defence, though, a few weeks later, when the All-Australian team was picked and Tex made the top 40,
You said when they actually picked the final side, you said it was outrageous that Tex didn't make the final 22. So
there you go.
You flip and flop, don't you?
I do. One way or the other way. Hey, don't leave us, folks. We've got an action-packed show coming your way between now and 10 o'clock. I thought we were working till 12. Darn it.
For CMI Toyota, Dead Set Legends, KG and Tex this morning at Triple M.
You know, throw the lines open now ask the Crows supporters or football supporters in general, were the Crows winners in the trade week? It's an 11-day trade week. It seemed to go on forever and ever. One little thing that I'd probably say is that we paid, I think, a little over so far as the Bryce Gibbs is concerned, giving away two first-round draft picks, 10 and 16. But having said that, you've got to get the player you want, and obviously he was the player that that the Crows wanted. How did you see it, Tex? Did we pay over the odds, do you think?
I think it's hard to define whether you pay overs or unders, but I think it was very successful for our footy club. Going into trade week, we needed obviously players,
yep,
players this year, and we had some high draft picks for this year and next year as well. So I'm really happy with what Reedy and the Hamish and the boys were able to do with getting in some players this year and obviously holding on to some draft picks next year. So very happy that we got Bryce Gibbs and Sam Gibson in. I mean, obviously, we're pretty well set for next year.
Sam Gibson, do you know much about him? I know he played X amount of games consecutively with North Melbourne.
Played 134 consecutive games.
And they delisted him.
Yeah, I found it very interesting when I heard the news that he got delisted. And I was probably pretty keen. I gave Reedy a ring and said, mate, we got to have a look at this bloke. He's 31 years of age, but I reckon if you spoke to Sloane, he'd be saying the same thing because he tagged Sloane when we played him up
right
in Tassie.
Yep.
Sloane said that he was tough to play on. He's an elite runner, pretty good kick. So I reckon he'll bring some leadership, some experience and a bit of toughness as well. So looking forward to seeing what those two boys can bring, and we'll be set up next year for some nice draft picks.
Now, Tex and Albie, this is what Tred has had to say. Triple M during the week about the Crows trade week. This is what he had to say.
Gibbs can give him class. He could be the difference in winning a flag.
Mm.
But I still think Adelaide's net position, and Justin Reid bangs on about it, is negative to what it was this time last year.
So you're saying by losing Jake Lever and these players... that
Charlie Cameron,
we've gone backwards overall. Would you agree with that or not?
No, I don't think so. I think the way we play, we bring in blokes and promote people to play a role.
Yep.
Amber, we spoke earlier about playing roles within the team, and you look at the guys down back, Alex Keith coming, Kyle Hardigan's gone to another level. We didn't see much of Kyle Cheney last year, Jake Kelly.
Yep.
So I'm confident we can cover down there, and Bryce Gibbs will come in, play cross half back, play a little bit through the midfield.
Yep.
We'll just promote some younger guys through the forward half where Charlie was playing. You saw the development of Riley Knight. Jordan Gallucci didn't play much this year. Wayne Miller. So I'm really confident that we've got guys that can come in and play a role within our system.
Tex, can I ask you about Charlie Cameron? You got shot down in flames when you made comments about Jake Lever. Unfairly, I thought. Charlie Cameron, what's your take on that?
Yeah, look, he was pretty homesick and wanted to go home, and
that's a cop out, surely.
Oh, I sat down with him, had a little chat about it, and he wanted to go back to Brisbane. That's where all his family are, and it's disappointing that you lose quality players like Charlie and Jake Lever, but that's the way the footy world and industry is going at the moment. So you just got to suck it up and move on. KG.
Fair enough. Okay, we'll throw it open to the Triple M family now. How did you see the Crows trade week? Were they a winner, or were they, as Warren Treadray said, perhaps not as strong as they were before trade week? Give us a Tex, just quickly, who will fill the breach left by Lever? Miller, Hampton, could they slot into a half-back flank?
Yeah, I reckon those guys could probably play back there. More for Brody Smith, obviously we'll see him towards hopefully the end of the year.
Yep.
And then Lever, as I said, you saw what Alex Keith could do, Kyle Cheney, and obviously a young guy that played really consistent through the sample last year was Tom Duday. So
they tell me he's tough.
He's tough as nails, Tommy Duday, and reads the ball really well and very courageous. So there's three blokes that potentially could slot in there for Jakey Lever.
Okay, we're asking you folks on 133.53. How did you see the Crows go in the trade week? Did we pay over the odds? Who can slot in for Lever? 133.53. That is our number. Lines are open. Go to 133.53. Ross of Victor Harbour. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Yeah, I was just saying that I think that we did really well getting Gibbsy. I don't know much about the other lad.
But
I'm sure that if the Crows like him and the guys picked him, then he's got some talent about him. And we lose good players. Like, we lost that bloke. What's his name? To Geelong? I can't think of his name at the moment.
Love it, Ross.
And everybody thought the Crows were done, as we got to Boston. But we did really well after that. We hardly missed the guys. We really, the way the guys played, they were brilliant.
You don't think we paid over the odds for Gibbsy?
Well, what price do you put on talent? We need to fill some vacancies. I mean, we lost Jake, and that's a concern because he was a really good lad.
Mm.
I'm not too sure about Charlie. I think he's a little bit inconsistent at times, and I don't think he'd be as hard to replace. But, that's the way, as Tech said, that's the way the game goes. These things happen. But I think that the guys are in a really good place at the moment, and I think next year can only get better.
Beautiful. Good on you, Ross. Thanks for your call. We'll go Colin of Trot Park. Good morning, Colin.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, thank you. What's your take on the Crows trade week?
I think on face value, you look at it and you say, yeah, we've lost two individual stars in Charlie and also Jake Lever. But you got to look at it and sort of say, well, we're building a champion team, not a team of champions, and we all know which one wins out of that. And I just think the window's still wide open. You go to the back line and, like, Jake Kelly, like, sensational year, and he's only going to get better next year.
He did have a good year. He was a big improver, young Kelly. There's no doubt about that in my
view. Absolutely. Fantastic. And he's going to get better and better. He will step up to where Jake Lever was, and then you bring Bryce in, and, like, you can run him through that half-back area as well. And as Tex was saying, Kyle Hardigan, probably had his best games ever the last part of the season. Mm. You've got Alex Keith to come in, and then you get Brody Smith back next, and well, not next year,
towards
but probably the year after.
That was a huge
towards
loss.
The end of the year, and you've built a back line there with experience that there's not going to be too many to match it, and if they play their roles, I think they're well and truly on the right track.
Yeah, fair enough. Good on you, Cole. It's interesting. It's a hot debate. It really is, whether he paid over the odds or whatever. We've got Michael of Largs Bay. Morning, Michael.
Yeah, good, KG. I just wanted to discuss, I come at it from a slightly different perspective because I'm a proud Adelaide boy now, but I grew up in Melbourne and I'm a Demons supporter.
Yep.
Having kind of like Jake Lever come across now, I just wanted to see how Tex sort of felt about the Bryce Gibbs situation. Now is obviously similar. You've got a champion who's left another club to come across. In fact, he was actually still under contract, whereas Jake Lever wasn't. And just in regards to sort of the comments about chasing money over success, well, I kind of feel like, from my perspective, Lever's probably got equally as much chance at winning a flag at Melbourne, given the window they're coming into now, is Adelaide, and just wanted to see what you boys sort of thought on that.
Yeah,
I thought this might have come up, and my response is that Bryce Gibbs has come back to Adelaide,
yep,
and he's taking a pay cut to come back and spend time with family.
He's taking a pay cut.
He's taking a pay cut, so that's pretty similar. But the other thing that I'd like to mention is Sam Gibson and Bryce Gibbs, they don't only bring talent, they bring hard work, leadership, and great characters. So that's what we like to.
So obviously you rate that, Tex, don't you?
I rate people with leadership and character.
Mm. Yeah, Tex. Just quickly, I just wanted to sort of say when I was thinking about the situation. Obviously, as you say, I agree. Free agency is just it's brought a light to this, and it's a big risk now taking in an interstate player in the beginning. But these things kind of have a way of coming around because. Years ago, Melbourne recruited a young Scott Thompson who was going to be a future gun for our club. And, of course, he wanted to go home. Same situation. You had to give him away, and he now played, over 200 games for you guys. Mm. So it sort of, I think everything has a way of, you know, what goes around comes around type situation.
Yeah, I agree with you,
interesting point. Good on you, Michael. Thank you for your call. 133353 is our number. It's a very interesting debate, isn't it, when you talk about Trade Week. We talk about Port Adelaide on paper, look pretty good, and we'll discuss that in more depth a little later. But very interesting situation, that.
Mark Scave coming up very soon. Yes. And we've got Albie's soccer update. Of course, the Reds played last night. That's on the way as well. Your dead set legends are Albie, KG, and text this morning. Taylor Walker from the Adelaide Crows. 104.7 Triple M for CMI Toyota.
Gordon, of course, it's going to be one hell of a day today on the Gold Coast with the supercars up there. By all reports, the weather's going to turn ugly, so there'll be some diving and crashing and bashing going on, for goodness sake. But yesterday, practice, what about Jamie Wincup? Smashed the lap record, flew around there. Let's have a chat about what is likely to happen today with one of the greatest drivers of all time, Mark Scaife from Fox Sports joins us. Mark, thanks for your time.
Morning, KG.
Mark, can I ask you about Jamie Wincup? These blokes just seem to get quicker and quicker and quicker all the time.
Amazing. I mean, we spoke about how fast Scott McLaughlin was at Bathurst a couple of weeks ago. Broke the record there with a 3.8. But yesterday, Jamie Wincup, fastest time ever around the Gold Coast circuit and the fastest in terms of knocking off the 1 minute 10 barrier. That's been something for the last 4 or 5 years that no one's been able to eclipse. So a 9.9 and an extraordinary lap and beautiful lap. You know, the level of commitment around here, it's a concrete canyon. There's just no room for error anywhere. And he used every little bit of road. It was a beautiful lap.
Fantastic. Mark, what about conditions? We've been led to believe that the rain's around and things might even be treacherous. What are conditions like?
Well, that's an understatement, KG. Seriously, it has not stopped raining all morning.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, it is. Seriously, it's hosing with rain here this morning. They're predicting about 40 to 50 mil through the course of the day, it's set in. So if you want great supercar racing, just add water. And this is a wild joint.
Gee whiz, that'll make things hairy up there, Mark. I would have thought with not much room to move with water going everywhere, for goodness sake.
Exactly. But one of the things about street circuits, I mean, in the dry, they're hard enough because there's all the different surfaces. There's manhole covers. There's painted lines.
Yep.
Road profile changes. There's everything you can possibly think of that's on a normal road that we almost can't fix as a racetrack. It's just how it is. But when you add water to it, all those painted lines, for instance, and the curbs, they become like ice. So it's going to be very interesting and a tough day for the drivers.
Gee, Mark, the top three, Jamie Wincup, Chas Mostert, and David Reynolds. David Reynolds, gee whiz, he's taken the racing by storm at the moment, David Reynolds.
He's been fantastic, isn't he? I'm a real rap. I'm a real rap for that young guy. I mean, to win Bathurst, obviously, it's a life-changing day for him. You know, to win the grand final, that will, you know, set him up in terms of his career. There's lots to look forward to watching him. And the other part I think that's important is that when you think about a young guy like Dave Reynolds, a few years ago, he was one of the lead drivers for Ford.
Yep.
He fell out of love in that camp, and it sort of looked like it was a time in his career that he might not get a full-time drive, and it was a difficult period for him. Well, he ended up at Erebus at a different team. They changed cars. They've moved workshops. They've gone to Holden.
Yep.
And at Bathurst, he was the fastest Holden all weekend. Mm-hmm. So, again, he's got real form, and he's going very, very well.
And, Mark, what about Shane Van Gisbergen? His record at the Gold Coast is quite impeccable. So he's qualified fifth, so that'll be interesting to see what happens from his point of view.
Yeah, well, he's a bit of a rainmaster too, KG. You know, so there's a few guys. McLaughlin is one of them. Dave Reynolds is another one. Wincup's very good in the rain. Ben Gisbergen for sure. And yes, he was fast yesterday. But they had really bad form. They made a lot of mistakes at Bathurst a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
He threw away what was going to be a pretty good result. I think he was probably a big chance to win through the course of the day with those conditions. But again, around here, anything can happen. And it's weird because the top five in the championship were five of the top six yesterday.
Yo.
So remember, the championship's the big part that we've got to talk about now. There's 900 points on offer.
Yep.
And there's only roughly 90 points between first and second.
Oh.
So again, if you fire in the fence today, you're a big chance of being out for the whole weekend. And that has a big implication in terms of the year.
Unbelievable.
KG, in footy terms, you always have dry specialists and wet specialists. Mark, my question is, who's your wet specialist amongst the group, and it's probably time to shine coming over the weekend?
Yeah, it's a good one, Tex, because a lot of the guys, you know, I always say, if you can drive, you can drive anything, and driving in the wet shouldn't be that hard. However, it's about the confidence of it. You know, when the cars move around a lot and they slide around a lot, and on a circuit like this where, you know, at 260 kilometres an hour at the end of the straight, arrive there, and you arrive there, it's hosing with rain, you can't see where you're going. The level of confidence is really important. So, to your point, the confidence guys, the guys who are really good in the rain, are probably Van Gisbergen, Scott McLaughlin, Chas Mostert was fantastic last week at Bathurst in the rain. A young bloke called Richie Stanaway from New Zealand is very good in the rain. Wincup is a master. Everybody talks about Van Gisbergen being good in the wet, but Wincup is very good too. As I said, Scotty McLaughlin's also a wet weather specialist. So there's about five or six. Even Rick Kelly for Nissan is very good in the rain. So there's five or six of sort of half sort of standout, I would say. But the rest of the guys, like Dave Reynolds, for instance, he was on pole at Bathurst in the rain a couple of years ago. So there's seven or eight that are big chance today. Mm. But as I said, anything can happen. Wow, it's a wild.
I can't wait to see it, Mark. We're crashing and bashing in rain. Mark, we appreciate your time. Look forward to a great day's racing, Mark. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Mark Scape, gee, what a driver he was. But tell you what.
260 kilometres.
Oh, and amazing. You can't see where your buddy going.
Have you ever got your car up to that out in the open road, KG?
Mate, I wouldn't go that fast in an aeroplane.
Be interesting to see how much it drops when the rain comes, how many kilometres they drop. What do you reckon? How many kilometres do you reckon they drop when the rain comes?
Well, I'm used to driving in these conditions in Scotland because we get a lot of rain.
So did you get your car up to 260 in Scotland?
How fast do you drive, Albie?
I go to the speed limit. always.
Hey, KG, you'd be a speed limit man too.
You're like LIM, Tex. I'm a very careful driver. Mark Scape with our special guest. Yeah. Time now to talk soccer. And of course, Albie Kidd, former Scottish champion. Well, known for his skills on the soccer pitch, Adelaide United almost got the maximum points last night.
Nearly got there, KG, but wasn't to be. But a 2-2 draw, I thought, was a fair result at the end of the day. A very, very fiery encounter there at Adelaide Oval. But Vince Leah scoring two cracker goals. Let's go to him now and see how they went in.
Just get a foothold in the contest. Might have a chance here. Vinny Leah! Oh, my word, what a goal! Solonsen! Oh, what a hit again! Vinny Leah! Yep, he's got two!
And now, but the amazing thing is, he was a former Victory boy.
He was, and I'm going to ask him the question. I think we've got him on maybe later on in the show, but I'm going to ask him if he did speak to Kevin Muscat after the game and we rubbed salt into the wounds. But really, it was a good game, KJ. I really enjoyed the game. It's always a fiery affair, as I mentioned there. But analyse the game, let's throw it to the coach and see what he said.
I think we make a good game. It's a very intensive game, a hard game against Victory. But after the second goal, we missed calm in our game. I think it goes from the end to the end, and it's a very close game. And we have not the clear opportunities to score the third goal. I'm not unhappy with the game, with the performance from my team, and I think the draw, it's a good result for both teams.
Very, very measured, Mark Kurtz.
Very measured there.
Have you seen the job he's doing, Albie?
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job. He's obviously got the boys fit. He's a very established professional coach and player, and I think he's doing a great job there. You know, look, at this point in time, guys, that you know he'll be establishing his best starting 11, and that'll take probably maybe 6 weeks or so, Cage, you know, but really I think he is doing a great job. You know, looking at Adelaide overall, I think they've changed their shape a little bit, but last year, I think it looks like, we're speaking to Tex off-air there, whereby I'm a great believer in having a happy dressing room. It looks like a happy squad.
Yeah.
So I think good things are going to be coming out at Adelaide United Football Club.
Hey, Tex, they train twice a day too at Adelaide United. You blokes train twice a day, the Crows?
Yeah, we usually have two sessions, a footy and then a bit of a weight session. So it's good to see the United. I love seeing South Australian teams go well.
Definitely. And really, the one good point as well to mention is that they're unbeaten. And the longer they go unbeaten, the better it is. They've picked up 5 points just now, two draws and a win, but they're looking very, very sound.
Okay, we'll talk to Vinny Lear a little later, but what about the Bloody Socceroos? What a mess they're in, Abby. Now, you honestly, being a former Scottish international and loving your game as you do, surely you got to query what Ange Postecoglou was doing.
Yeah, look, he's broke his silence now and he's saying that he's committed to the cause to get the Socceroos to the World Cup. That's fine, but what happens thereafter?
Exactly,
you
right.
You know, so I think the FFA have got put a bit of purchase or a bit of leverage on the Ange to see what he's actually going to do if he wins the two games against Honduras. Let's see what he says here.
For me, it served its purpose because no one's talking about the back three anymore, so... This is the greatest honour you could possibly have. I mean, I love every minute of coaching my country. The last coach, qualified for the World Cup and he wasn't there when he came around. So there's no guarantees about anything in life, there's no, especially in sport. You start thinking about, what you're going to do in a year's time in sport, you're going to miss what's happening now. And for me, the most important thing is that we get the job done in the next two games.
That's Ange Postecoglou, our coach. But surely, just in closing the segment, Albie, surely the FFA have got to say to Ange, we want to know what you're doing after the Honduras matches. Surely.
Well, it sounds like he wants an each way bet. And, looking at Honduras, it's not going to be an easy time. You're a population of 9 million people and, they'll be decent. And they actually beat Mexico, Cage, in the last game to allow them to play Australia. So Ange has got to come out and be a wee bit more forceful there. The players will be wondering what's happening as well. People like ourselves on the station here will be wanting to know what's going to be going on.
Yep.
But really, he mentioned Holger Osiek. Now, Holger's got a very, very good track history. And to me, I honestly think that Ange should respect the position. He's not really respecting the position. It's all about Ange, in my opinion.
Yep,
but he's really got to get his focus there to win the Honduras games and then, be clear with the Australian public, for sure.
Well done, Albie, kid. Well done, Albie.
Dead Set Legends. KG. Albie. And sauntering.
Where's the Texan?
Into the studio. Tex Walker, Taylor
Walker.
He knocked
off some Minties. You've been raiding the Minty jar, Tex.
I might have been, KG. I brought one back for you.
Radio 101, you don't eat Minties and talk at the same time.
No, okay. I'm not doing that, Sean.
I've often tried to sneak into the receptionist area, but I could never get in there. But Jars can, and now you can. I'm filthy that I'm the only bloke that can't get in there to knock off the Minties.
I'll teach you how to sneak in there, KJ.
Get on your text. Okay, we're back talking with you folks. And, the one thing that's really amazed me is that Port Adelaide supporters, would you believe, are banging their chest saying they got the best trade deal. No doubt they got the best trade deal. And they're even talking about their chances now of winning a premiership. Look, I wouldn't be so cock-a-hoop about that.
Cock-a-hoop?
No, I wouldn't be so cock-a-hoop about that.
Do I need to dump?
Because when you look at the three young men they've drafted, Motlop, Rocklift...
And Watts.
And Watts, all have not, over their careers, played a consistent brand of football. They play in spasms. They've not played consistently. Now, look, I wish the three young men every bit of success, but... I wouldn't be too sure that what they've done through the trade week is exceptional. It's okay, great on paper, but Tex, I'm going to put you right on the spot here, son.
Ooh. Yeah, look, I think getting Rocklift in, he's a quality midfielder, someone that just finds a footy week in, week out. Motlop's he's electric. He can have a bit of X factor about him. And then obviously Jack Watts. I'm interested to see how Jack Watts will come across and... Obviously, Charlie Dixon's their main focus point down forward.
Correct.
Whether Jack Watts can hold up a key position and help Charlie Dixon.
Right.
And then, obviously, they've traded out Jackson Trengrove.
Lobie.
And Lobie.
That's the interesting one.
If Ryder was to go down, which we hope he doesn't, because he's a super ruckman of the competition.
Yep.
Who then goes into the ruck? Does Charlie Dixon go into the ruck?
That's a good point.
And let Jack Watts be the key focus up forward. So, I think they've had successful trade period as well, Port. But there's a couple of things that I've had to think about.
What about their defence? Are you satisfied they've got the right sort of defence, Port Adelaide?
Look, I rate Jack Homsch as a really good defender. I've played him a couple of times now, and Tom Cleary's developing into a consistent defender as well. So they've got some key guys down there. And Tommy Jonas, he got suspended a couple of times this year, but they've got a great mix down there. And yeah, that's probably an area that they're developing as well.
And now, I probably shouldn't ask you this, but would you class them, as some Port supporters are saying, that they are premiership contenders?
What do you reckon, Albie? Can I handball that to you?
I was speaking to Ditz yesterday. He says they are.
Oh, Ditz does.
Ditz says that week in, week out.
He says emphatically they are, Albie. You're right. You're spot on there. Look, we're going to throw it open now to the Port supporters out there, or just football lovers. Are Port Adelaide, given what they've traded last week, are they now genuine, and I mean genuine, premiership contenders? Go to the phones, folks. We've got Ange of Kidman Park. G'day, Ange.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Ange. What's your take?
I have a question for Tex.
Yep.
Tex, when Eddie first came to the Crows, he was an unknown, wasn't he? Sort of struggled with Carlton, wasn't getting games together. What is your opinion about that to start off with?
Oh, he was a pretty high talent at Carlton, but obviously coming over into our system, he was able to play probably the best footy he's played in his career. So he's been a great pickup for us from Carlton.
And this is what I'm saying, guys. Like, we've got Watts and Motlop and Rockliffe. Now, Watts is 25, about the same age we got Schultzy when he couldn't get a game at Richmond. I think a change for these players, different system, and I still believe everyone can't play the Paul Roos type of football, the defensive type of game.
That's a cop-out, Ange.
No, it's not.
Yes,
no,
it is. Not.
Hang on. Who was coaching Carlton when Eddie was in and out of the team?
Hang on, stop.
Yeah,
Malthouse.
That's right.
Yeah, well, but when you see a bloke, a good bloke who knows football, Simon Goodwin was quite happy for Watts to be shop himself around. When I heard him say that, knowing Simon as I do, he's a genuine bloke. There's a kink in the armour somewhere. That I'm convinced of it. The fact is they had words pre-season of last year. Simon didn't pick him. So look, it's not as clear as crystal.
No, it's not. But sometimes a change for a footballer can do amazing things, guys.
Yep, I accept that fact. No question.
Yeah, he's got a great point. I think sometimes it might be, what was Jack Watts there for, seven years? 7 years. It might take him to come across the Port, new environment. It might just spark him and give him a little kick up the backside to say how lucky he is to have the opportunity he's got.
Look at Dangerfield. Look at Dangerfield at Geelong. He's taken the next step.
Oh, hang on.
Different player.
Hang on, Dangerfield.
We're talking about different clubs.
No, hang on. Dangerfield was a wonderful player at Adelaide.
Didn't say that he wasn't, but he has taken the next step with Geelong.
Brownlow. All right, Ange. Okay, we beg to differ. We have a prize for
Ange. Yeah, look. Ange, KG may not love you, but I do. Adelaide United, Melbourne City, Cooper Stadium this Saturday night. AdelaideUnited.com.au to buy tickets. But Ange, you got a couple of freebies from
good
us.
Good on you, Ange. You're lucky man. Gavin of Fulham Gardens. This will be good. G'day, Gav.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, good. Gavin, how are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, KG. Yeah, look, I'm over the moon with the three pickups we've got. But I do think we are a contender, but I don't want to go spruiking it too quickly.
What gives you confidence to think you're a contender?
We don't go put it out on the deck.
Hey, Gav, did you hear Tex? He asked you why are you saying that you are a contender? What makes you say that?
Well, look, I really, out of the three of them, I rate Rockliffe. I reckon Rockliffe's going to really bolster our midfield, and he's going to, he's going to help Ollie Wines out, and I think we'll be able to leave Gray in the forward lines now. He won't have to come on the ball at all. I don't think Wingard will have to come on the ball either, he'll also be able to help out Ebert as well. But I don't want to go spruiking and saying, oh yeah, we're contenders, and then we fall on our sword and we don't make the grand final or something like that.
Yeah, just play your cards close to your chest.
I'd rather be, KG, I'll tell you, I'd rather be the underdogs.
Yep.
Go in as underdogs, fight hard,
And yeah.
Love your attitude, Gavin.
Yeah, good on you. Tex loves your attitude, Gav. Good on you, Gav. He's a regular, Gav. He's a good lad. Margie of Allenby Gardens. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, KG. How's your blood pressure?
Well, I'll probably never get over that, to be honest.
You have to, KG.
No.
Yeah. My point is, I'm a diehard, really diehard Port supporter.
Good on you.
And, you know, I'm very optimistic and excited about the additions. I thought we really had to trade well. And I think each of those players really adds something potentially to the side for them to take the next step.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't think there's any certainties. I think we time and time again fall into this trap, and I think the Crows did too in the media, you know, by declaring, yes, they're going to win the grand final. You know, there's no certainty, and we need to go back to taking it one game at a time and then reassess when the finals. But I think they're definitely going to improve, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, good on Margie. For a Port supporter, I do admire your attitude. It's a good attitude. We've got Randall of Brooklyn Park. Good morning, Randall.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
I'm a diehard Port supporter as well. And, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I think with the recruiting we've done, I'm really happy with it. But I think we should just look at just making top four and then see how it goes from there.
Randall, where would you play Jack Watts?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, he'd be good support for Dixon up forward, but I wouldn't be adverse to maybe trying him cross half back to, you know, because we do lack a bit of height from time to time.
Mm.
And he's a big hard body, and he's got a bit of pace and
Is he a hard body? Would you class him, and I say this respectfully, is he a hard body?
He could be. That's the thing. It's all about attitude, he's a big unit.
Mm.
And but it's all a thing of applying yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's it. Working hard and applying yourself. You've hit the nail right on the head, Randall. Absolutely. Look, I don't want to be negative about these three kids. I hope when they come to Port that they play the football that they want to and Port are hoping for. But I still have a query against the three of them. Slight query. And I've been proven wrong in the past when I said Tex should have been dropped. Thanks, Randall. I'll never live that down. My granddaughter keeps reminding me of it.
I'll keep reminding
you. Joe of Semaphore Park. Can we take Joe?
Yeah, let's there. One more.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, mate. I haven't listened to you since for a lot of years, KG, but you've still got that kink in the arm about Port Adelaide. Totally negative. Honest, mate. Listen, Jake Watts went through five coaches. What does that tell you? Is that about the club or about the player?
Well, it's a bit about both.
But it's a bit about the club or the player. I mean, if one player... Tex, you tell me, mate, if you went through five coaches in 5 years, you wouldn't know where you'd come or go, would you?
Well, I've been through, I've had Pike, Walsh, Cambriali,
different circumstances.
Yeah, but hang on, Joe.
And you know what? Cage, we talked about the Crows a little bit earlier, and it was like, you were all up and at them. What did they do at the end of the year? They fell apart. Anyone can do it, mate. What? Anyone can get there at the end of the year. No. As soon as you mentioned Port Adelaide, KG, you were straight on the back foot.
Not at all.
Like you've always been, mate. Yeah, you were.
Not at all. They cock a hoot,
you said.
Well, let me throw this at you.
Yeah, Motlop,
Watts has played under Ruse and Simon Goodman, found wanting. Rockliffe fell out with Fagan, their coach, found wanting. Stephen Motlop for Geelong. Now, they let him go. The three clubs have let those three players go. And my point is, there's a query there. I'm wishing the kids well, but there's a query there in my view.
Yeah, well, tell you what, let's have a query at the end of the year.
Yeah, give me a ring at the end of the year.
You've still got that little chip of the shoulder.
That's the problem with Port supporters.
There you go again.
Pop a sweet.
You peanut.
Thanks, Joe. See ya. Good call, Joe. Unbelievable.
Does he get a prize, though?
No. Well.
Come on, let's turn it around. Let's give him a prize. Supercross Championship, Adelaide Motorsport Park, this Saturday. Go to gilbertracing.com. Right, Vince Leah coming up very soon.
Just got a foothold in the contest. Might have a chance here. Vinny Leah! Oh! My word, what a goal! Solomson! Oh, what a hit again! Vinny Leah! Yep, he's got two!
Oh, how good was that last night? And we've got the man on the phone who lit up Adelaide Oval like you wouldn't believe last night, scoring two goals. Vinny Leah, over to you, Albie.
Vinny, how are you doing? Are you well?
I am. I'm a little bit sore, but I'm well.
Now, listen, two goals. You're not renowned for scoring many goals, Vinny. What happened last night?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Boys, I don't know. I scored four in my career and two last night. So, yeah, it was a pretty good night, personally, but a little bit disappointing in the end to get a draw.
Yep. Look, a couple of great goals, mate. It's always good to score against your former club.
Yeah, look, it is. I was there 12 years ago for 24 games, so it's been a long time, but you know, since I played for them, but it is nice. I've done that once before, which was a bit more special, but yeah, like I said, good to get a couple of goals last night.
A question, mate. Did Muskie congratulate you?
I didn't see him after the game. I have no doubt he would have. He's a good bloke. I get along pretty well with him, but I didn't see him after the game.
Marco Kurtz, Vinny, he strikes me as a very, very professional coach and individual. What's your first impressions of him?
Yeah, he is. He's very, very thorough in what he does, and he's very regimented in our training regime. And we had a pretty tough pre-season under him, very different to what the club has been like the past few years from what I've been told. But, you know, we're finding it good at the moment. The results are... I've been not too bad. We're undefeated to start the season, so it's at the moment it's all going well, and we're enjoying it.
That's good. On a negative front, there, Vinny, just to come in, very slow start again. Did the coach address that?
We spoke about it just before the game and the day before about being smarter when we start, a bit more direct and not making any silly mistakes and letting the other team into the game. It happened again. That's 3 weeks in a row now, and it's something we need to stop. Quick, smart. We've got a game Tuesday night, so I've got no doubt it'll be spoken about tomorrow at training, and hopefully Tuesday's a better start for us, because if it keeps happening, we're going to find ourselves, you know, losing games, which at the moment we've been able to come back, but that's not going to happen all the time. So it's important that we start well.
We mentioned that just off air there about being unbeaten, and we're just saying the longer that goes, the better it is for the continuity of the club and the confidence for the players, because obviously the coach is just possibly establishing the best 11 to start the games.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's always, you need to pick up points as much as you can. The league's going to be very, very tight come the end of the season. So, you know, the point last night may be valuable come the end of the season. Marco, he's new to the club, new to the league. We've got a lot of players that are new to the club this year, so I guess it's going to take time for him to figure out what his best 11 is. At the moment, the boys that have been playing have been doing a pretty good job, so hopefully that continues, because you can get a sense amongst our group that we're hard to beat. So yeah. We're happy at the moment.
Vinny, you made the point that you saw it appeared to be a physical game. How tough was it?
Yeah, it was. It's always a tough game. Victory. Actually, always in the A-League, but always victory is always a little bit more spicy than normal. Obviously, the South Australian-Victorian rivalry is pretty rife in football as well. It was physical, but it wasn't. I don't think there were really dirty challenges. A few niggles where the ref, needed to get on top of things. So we'll see. We've got recovery in an hour, and we'll see how everyone's pulled up.
Exactly.
I think we'll be all right.
A little break from the playing season now, or the league programme. You're playing Western Sydney on Tuesday in Sydney, FFA Cup semi-final. How are you planning for that?
Yeah, we've got training tomorrow. We usually would get 2 days off, but because of the Tuesday game, we'll train tomorrow and Monday and fly out to Sydney. I'm not sure what Marco's thinking about doing with the team, whether he'll have a few players back up for Tuesday and then again Saturday, or he'll give a few of the guys that were on the bench last night a run. It's an important game for us. It's a semi-final, and we win that, we're in a final and a chance at silverware. So it's, we're going to go out to win, obviously, and keep our unbeaten start.
Beautiful. Vinny, we appreciate your time. It was a wonderful game to watch last night. Pity we couldn't got the maximum points, but we do appreciate your time, Vinny. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks
for
having
me. Cheers.
Got an Vinny Lear. He was fantastic last night, scoring two goals.
Look at Cage fired up. If you think he's fired up right now, you ain't heard nothing yet.
Don't go nowhere.
We've got the Rage Cage coming up in a few moments. Right after this, Dead Set Legends, Cage and Tex on Triple M.
On Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Don't make me angry.
It's time.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
For the Rage KG.
Oh dear, oh dear. Now, folks, what about those Pommy cricketers? Fair dinkum. Can you believe it? After Australian vice captain David Warner made the point publicly during the week, he wants to see some good old-fashioned argy-bargy, some intimidation and some verbal conflict in the forthcoming Ashes series between Australia and England. Well, what about the reaction? But it's bloody typical, fair dinkum, from two former English cricketers, namely Geoffrey Boycott and Marcus Trescothick, classing Warner's comments as pathetic. Let me tell you, Geoffrey and Marcus, I know who's pathetic, and it's not David Warner. From my point of view, I say when they arrive here, give it to them. Don't cross the line. Don't dare cross the line for one moment. But as EJ would say, and has said many times, stick it up them. Our reputation as a cricketing nation is well and truly on the line. Do what we have to do to win the series, and it would give me great pleasure to send the English cricket team home with their head between their legs. Go for them, boys. Go for them.
Oof.
Well.
Jeez.
Well.
I love it, KG. I love it.
Argy-bargy on
You're
the
You're very band. Passionate. I'll say that for you.
We've got to beat the Poms.
We do.
Well, have you been sledged on the football ground, Tex?
Oh, I've been sledged plenty of times. Some that I probably can't say on radio. But
have you given some?
Oh, you got to give a little bit back. It's all part of the game, so I'm with you, KG. Give it to him.
Albie?
I've been sledged as well with nationality. With a few ones added.
Probably can't add those either, Albie.
Has your accent been sledged? Your accent? Your Scottish accent?
On many times when I come and played here. Yeah. Playing against the Adelaide Cities and whatnot.
And so, they sledged you?
Yeah, they thought I was Greek. You should call me Kidopoulos.
There you go. That's all a part of the game.
The Rage Cage there. We're going to wrap up this bad boy right after this. Don't forget Roy and HD coming up at 10. Right now, though, Ken Cunningham, Albie Kidd, and Tex Walker. It's your Dead Set Legends on 104.7 Triple M for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealership.
The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the 1-hour express service.
Triple M.